Here we go, hour two of the nation. We got Rangers pregame coming up at 6:30. Wolchuk, I have a proper round tripper at 6. Get you all primed for it. Time now for a mixed bag. Here he is, Zach.
All right, let's go ahead and shake it up. Let's hit our mixed bag right after this.
You want a chocolate? Mama.
Mama. Leave the gun.
Mama.
Take the cannoli.
Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates.
How do they get them back?
Just throw it in the bag.
You never know what you're going to get.
All right, so I've tweeted this out, and I tagged Eric in it, but there is a giant food challenge that has come to Northwest Dallas. It's called the Mega Torta. It's an 8-pound, 14-inch-long Mexican sandwich with all the fixings. You can try and finish this in less than 20 minutes. If you do so, you win $150. But if you fail, you have to pay $75 for the whole thing. And, Eric, you've gotten a glimpse of this warlock. I don't know that even you could finish this.
Yeah, I'm not playing with confidence looking at it right now.
It's, I mean, you got
avocado.
I'll tell you that much. You got all the meats. I mean, this thing is freaking huge.
Just one half of the sandwich is bigger than Bruce Bochy's head.
Yeah, and they put like a peach next to it. There's a Big Mac next to it that they're doing to compare the sizes, and it just... it engulfs this thing.
Yeah, I think you got to be a giant human and have about 45 minutes at least.
Or be like a Joey Jaws kind of guy, like a professional.
Yeah.
This is what you've worked for your entire life. Because I'm just doing some research now because I ate the Boomstick cheeseburger, right? The giant
cheeseburger. You did a great job on that, by the way.
And that, how long that took me over, that was like 3 hours and 14 minutes, I think, was the time that I needed. And I needed basically every single second of that time. And that, they're saying on the internet, weighs roughly 3 or 4 pounds. So this this is an 8-pound sandwich.
This is a trap.
Minutes. I think this would,
it's a $75 trap. Is that what you're saying, Dawson?
It definitely is.
Yeah.
For your off-the-street, run-of-the-mill guy walking in there, this is a stone-cold trap.
They have no intentions of ever giving away a torta unless Joey Jaws or Kobayashi walks through that door.
Yeah, they know they're winning here.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's a sandwich that could feed a village.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can go in there with a group and order that, and then everybody just has a little bit for fun, just, you know, the novelty of it. But goodness gracious, this thing's just a monster.
Yeah, it'd be great, like a family.
A monstrosity.
Monstrosity. Yeah, like you knew what I was trying to do.
A community dish. You guys ever been to a restaurant like that?
Yeah.
Family style?
Yeah. It's like, hey, we're bringing some for everybody.
Absolutely.
Get your plate.
Yeah.
Shout out to Wingstar, AZ Fudd. She's going to participate in the WNBA's three-point contest, so she'll be part of that. That will be, I think, next Tuesday, as the top overall pick will be competing on that. It'll be 7:30 on ESPN.
I can find out. Where's the All-Star game this year, please?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I can't tell you that. It's the United Center in Chicago. Says it right here. Saturday, 7:30 p.m., United Center in Chicago. You've got AZ Fudd. She's really the biggest star, I think, on this. It's going to be playing or participating in the three-point contest. I don't see Caitlin Clark's name listed.
Why am I seeing Team Spoon versus Team Coop?
Is there a Witherspoon involved?
Are those the two captains?
Yeah. Guessing.
I guess that's the play here.
Yep. The Fudd.
Doing that old thing that LeBron and them did. Yeah. Team Braun and somebody else, whatever it was. That was trash.
They draft their teams. Yeah. They try to do weird gimmicks with these All-Star games. Now, Caitlin Clark in the news again today, though.
She declined the league's invitation.
She don't want to do it. I feel like why wouldn't she? She'd probably dominate.
Cynthia Cooper and Teresa Spoon Witherspoon, the general managers, they're drafting the 22-player pool. So that's how it is. It's Cynthia Cooper and Teresa Spoon Witherspoon.
Yeah. Well, NBA 2K7 revealed that Wemby is going to be their cover athlete, much to Bobby Belt's demise. Really, both of these are his most hated athletes right now, I think.
Oh, Caitlin clarified she needs to rest up for the beating she's going to take in the actual All-Star game.
Oh, boom. There it is. Because she is. And now she's also on the deluxe edition of NBA 2K7. But the problem is...
Come on, y'all.
Come on, y'all. They're going to full-court press her ass 90 feet for the entire All-Star game.
Fans are pointing out...
Slap the floor when they're out there.
Yeah. Bring it on.
Pick her up as soon as
it's inbound. No foul.
Yeah, that's right. Rose is on the Ultra Edition NBA 2K7 problem, but both of these look normal, except Caitlin's is definitely an AI-generated cover.
Caitlin Clark is going to be Adam Sandler in The Longest Yard, and everybody else is Michael Irvin.
They're all just
Remember when he was just getting his ass kicked?
Yeah.
And then, it happened in the original one too. Burt Reynolds when he was playing the quarterback, Paul Crewe. He got crushed.
Oh, Paul
got crushed pretty good.
Well, WNBA fans not happy. Even though Caitlin said being on the cover of NBA 2K7 is special because this game reaches fans all over the world. To be the first WNBA player on her own global cover means women's basketball gets to show up on that stage too. And I'm proud to be a part of that. So congratulations. But it does not look anything like her, this AI-generated image they put on the cover. They could have done a better job.
I don't understand why they do that. Why are they doing an AI?
You can't get a real picture?
Yeah.
That's very bizarre.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
All right, we got all the ESPN layoffs going. And I do think it's kind of fair to say, okay, well, Pat McAfee, you're making $60 million. Oops. Are you not somewhat the reason for this? So he has J.J. Watt on the show yesterday.
Watt went after him a little bit.
Yeah, he did. And he's kind of pointing the finger. And so Pat McAfee has this response while interviewing J.J. Watt.
The play is now on.
Goodness.
It was a long time. It was a lot of money. But it's on that note, we hate anytime this happens. Obviously, this is terrible. We don't like that. But we are very honored that we are still partnering with ESPN and Disney for the good of sport, for the future. And I hate this. Like, we actually hate it. When we first got there, there was one of the, it feels like this happens in corporations a lot, kind of getting baptized into this. NFL teams don't really do this, you know, so we're not really in there. The first time we licensed the show through ESPN, one of these happened, we got blamed for it all. It's like, blame us. Okay. Thank you. I feel like you don't fully understand budgets and where things are coming from, but I do appreciate that. This time we're getting blamed as well, which I guess I can understand, but I mean, there's billions and billions of dollars in these companies, and hard decisions have to get made, and we don't like any of them.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't.
Sounds guilty to me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like how...
Sounds like a man with blood on his hands.
And to be fair, I don't think he's just getting $60 million. I think they...
It goes to his whole crew?
Yeah, he pays out everybody that's involved with his show from
that $60. It's a production of the show,
Overall production. So ESPN does not have separate contracts with everybody else on the show.
Correct. No.
So Pat's responsible to pay for all of that.
Correct.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I found it interesting that on the same day, maybe it's just bad timing, the report came out that he gave all of his showmates a backpack with $250,000 in it.
Yeah.
And then you got Carl Ravage losing his job and others, Tom Pelissero and company. And he's not wrong. I mean, I feel like every year this happens with ESPN. They have a major – this is probably just the most high-profile names that they've let go. But Stephen A. and Pat McAfee, we know, are the highest paid there. And so they're going to get the brunt of this. And Stephen A. Smith was on his YouTube show complaining about the Ryan Clark stuff. And, well, if I had more say in this, I'd have made sure Ryan Clark was not let go. But I think Stephen A.'s got a lot of say. But clearly they're making budget cuts.
$250,000 in a backpack?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
Man.
Wow. How much does that get home if you had like $250,000 in your backpack? How much of that gets to the crib?
Honey, I got $10,000 today.
Right. You're not going to believe this, man. We got a bonus.
Pat is such a great friend. He's such a great boss.
I'm going to split this in half with you, honey.
Yeah, I'm going to actually give you five of this.
Here you go, honey.
Go get whatever you want.
Exactly. You go shopping with this $5,000.
Mama don't know
here.
Money, baby.
Yes. Yeah, good old Pat. But now he's going to be putting out a music album.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he is.
He's going country western?
He's revealed a new album that he's going to be putting out. And I guess he did have a song that dropped, I want to say, around the draft. But August 14th, the former NFL punter is showcasing an album. He had the song Dookie that came out in December.
Oh, so he's going to be doing music himself. I thought he was going to maybe EP a project since he has so much money. I can pay for a project to happen.
Oh, he's got the
Dookie's the name of the album from Green Day.
The Diary of a Polarizing Figure.
Yeah.
Pat McAfee. Yeah.
All right about that, Lucius?
Yeah.
And he had the song titled Dookie. So I don't know if this will be any good, but Pat McAfee's got enough fans. I'm sure people are going to buy this thing.
Is this going to be like Adam Sandler style, you think, where he's joke singing?
I'd like to think it would be.
We need to pull up the Dookie. That's what we need to do. We need to listen to the Dookie drop that he had.
See if it's any good.
That Adam Sandler record from like the mid-90s was pretty hilarious.
That was so great.
The Hanukkah song and all that?
Hanukkah's part of it. Yeah, the Hanukkah song.
Piece of bleep car.
Yeah,
it was some good skits.
Yeah.
Didn't he have the Lunch Lady song?
Lunch Lady.
The Lunch Lady song is a classic.
Yeah. Sloppy Joe.
But I don't know. I don't know what McAfee's going for here. I mean, it could be. Didn't Troy Aikman have a country music album that dropped
for a little bit. For a little bit,
yeah.
Did he really with his voice? Yeah. Like he was singing. I did not know. That's news to me. This is breaking news right now. Troy Aikman has a country album somewhere.
Yeah, there. It's. I don't think it's great, but he tried it.
Shout out to Henrietta.
Henrietta, Oklahoma. NFL's underrated and overrated teams. This is from our buddy Mike Jones with The Athletic. Which team do you think is the most underrated going into the season? And I'm just asking you, your personal thought, not what Mike Jones is saying here, because he's listed several. And the overrated teams we'll get to in a moment.
Okay, an underrated team for the NFL.
An underrated team for you right now. Underrated. We're not talking about them enough. You think they could actually be pretty good during the season?
Jacksonville, but I think they're rated.
Okay.
The Chargers.
The Chargers might be one, yeah.
These are playoff teams, so do I got to pick a non-playoff team?
That's
probably the rule. I mean, isn't everybody kind of jumping on the Saints right now?
The Saints are a team that he's got listed. He's only got one team that was in the playoffs that is listed as underrated, and that'd be Carolina. He thinks Carolina is an underrated team, and he does have the Saints as well. But he thinks
Commanders.
They had a really good offseason. Yeah, the Commanders might be. I mean, if Jaden Daniels is healthy.
So you're saying this guy, you're looking for an underrated team.
Yeah.
Did you say Cincinnati?
No, I haven't said any of them.
Okay.
You know it was on the tip of his tongue, though.
Cincinnati, baby.
Yeah.
Is Cincinnati one of them?
Cincinnati's one of them, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Are my Vikings?
The Vikings are not. And I think the Vikings
are. A lot of people are diving on that Cincinnati. That's why I said that. A lot of people are talking about Cincinnati.
He is the Cowboys, though, is an overrated team. Mm. Says Jerry will tell you the Cowboys always have a shot at contention, and his team does generate plenty of buzz, but the Cowboys will have to gel in a hurry on defense where new DC Christian Parker inherits a unit that struggled mightily last season but added plenty of new faces. The offense led by Dak, CD, and Pickens should again put up points, but the much-needed defensive backing could take some time. So he's leaning Cowboys, overrated. He's got Bills, and nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills as an overrated team. He's got the Bears of Chicago as an overrated team, which, Gavin, I think you'd agree with that. The Eagles of Philadelphia, overrated. And the New England Patriots, the defending AFC champions, as overrated. But you're underrated? Saints of New Orleans, Carolina Panthers, the Bengals, the Colts, and the Atlanta Falcons. Those are his underrated teams. I don't know about the Colts.
The Colts.
I mean, they started the season so well last year. I don't think that's going to be replicated.
With Daniel Jones coming off an Achilles?
No. I think Jonathan Taylor's awesome. And Shane Steichen is like one of those coaches that's never going to have them to where they just totally stink. They're always going to be floating around 500. But they're just not good enough. And they made the big trade for Sauce, and he got hurt.
I think there's something to be said for the Colts not being bad, because good line, good running game when Daniel Jones gets healthy. But they did lose Michael Pittman, their power slot.
They did.
It's putting a lot of pressure on Caleb's brother, Josh Downs.
Yes, and Alec Pierce. And he's hurt, too.
Yeah, I mean, he is a yards-per-completion guy. So I think if their running game is there, I could see them having a top-five offense again, at least.
Okay.
When Jones is healthy, it's so heavy run and play action that it's leaning 1,000 times hard into the modern metas, right? So it's kind of hacking the game in an elite way, and I have a lot of respect for Shane Steichen pulling that off.
And I just don't know defensively. Like, are they going to be good enough? They traded their leading tackler in Zaire Franklin. Now, they did draft a bunch of players that I'm a fan of. A.J. Halsey, the safety from LSU.
Did they take Allen? They took C.J. Allen,
and they took the Oregon linebacker, Bryce Betcher, I believe, as well. So they tried to overhaul this thing, but we'll see. Now, shout out to Ryan Coleman-Williams, the Alabama wide receiver. Kalen DeBoer today during the SEC Media Day said he's going to have his degree here in December. That's 2.5 years at age 19. He is graduating, and this could be one of the best wide receivers in the draft in the upcoming season, but clearly intelligent individual. 2.5 years graduating at the age of 19 from Alabama. Wow. I thought that was incredible. Listed. Mm. But you think it's one of those?
No,
like,
not at all. Not at all. Like, not at all.
Are you guys reading these player rankings for college football yet? Just wet your whistle a little bit?
I just know November 1st I'm going to have to start doing this again. That's all I know.
Even if the Cowboys are in first?
Yeah. There's no other way around it. To get everything completely done, you have to start November 1st.
Yeah.
I got into a routine last year of after embarrassing losses, I would look for players that I thought could fix what just went wrong.
Yeah.
And it was cathartic.
Yeah.
I'm just listening to you guys in the post game and watching players.
I think that we did a great job last year. I know we had two picks in the first round here, but I think we did a really good job of pivoting real quick when these things started to go south. You know, and I would say this, my company, we had the best month of our young
over business. Crown?
Yeah, the month of April, by far. The lead up, the month of, you know, February, March, April, when, you know, people start to kind of pick this up. And if, this, and I don't want to, I want this team to go far. Don't get me wrong.
The ceiling is the roof.
But when you have to pivot, you have to pivot, because nobody gives a damn about a bad football team.
Now, it's tough to talk about, and all you can think is like, okay, well, how do we fix this?
Yeah, exactly.
That's usually with the draft.
Exactly. 469, by the way, says torta is not a sandwich.
Maybe chocolate.
It's one of those iconic debates.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely not a candy.
It's a few things. It is. What was it called? A giant torta or something like that?
Yeah. Mega torta.
Yeah.
We the end.
Yeah.
I'm going to bow out of that one.
We got the C note coming up next.
How about that?
The Cowboys news and more coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation and the fan. Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. It's time to hit the C note. This segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. So yesterday I delivered for you at 520 one way to improve the Cowboys' offense, which was first quarter scoring, 4.8. They were around average. Here's something they're bottom third at when it comes to game management. They might be scared of getting their guy hurt, so they're not doing it very much, but they should be doing it.
Running quarterback?
Running quarterback, but specifically running him on the
sneak.
QB sneak.
Sneaky!
Okay, we go to Ryan Paginetti. I couldn't find the exact numbers, but a number of articles alluding to the fact that the Cowboys were amongst the lowest teams at quarterback sneaking, and I'm sure our anecdotal memories would agree with that,
yes.
Right? We're not sneaking Dak very much. So Ryan Paginetti, who has hit Twitter, and I guess he started a YouTube channel. He worked in the league for about 8 years. He did analytics. And he's basically in the early stages of debriefing the public on everything that he and his analytics friends have been working on for the better part of the last decade or so. And he starts out with, just your scoring probabilities and how much it skyrockets if you just go quarterback sneak at goal line. And then he talks about the injury probabilities as well. But this is how he frames it. Next time your favorite team faces first and goal at the one, think about this. Since at least 2000, no team has ever been stopped on four consecutive one-yard sneaks within the same set of downs.
Wow.
No team has been stopped on even three consecutive sneaks within the same set of downs. They also searched over a million college football snaps and found no confirmed example of it happening there either in the last 25 years combined football, college, and the NFL. He says his sneak until you score model projects a touchdown by the second sneak 88% of the time, by the third sneak 96%, and by the fourth sneak 99% of the time. One Super Bowl winning head coach learned of this research and asked me, why would you ever do anything different? If every team employed this strategy, the NFL could see 200 additional touchdowns on sneaks in 2026 alone. You could add 200 touchdowns to the game. Running backs and their fantasy managers would not be happy. But who cares about them, right?
Right.
We care about winning as fans. So, for the Cowboys, I feel like this is pretty big because they had at least one set of downs last year right there where they went backwards.
Yeah.
And I think that was amongst the concerns for Clayton Adams when he talked about this around the OTAs or something, like we can't get down into the red zone and get too cute. We got to go with what works. And, you know, hopefully Clayton Adams is a champion of this cause. Now, Paginetti then after a few hours jumped back in with a retweet about the turnovers from a quarterback and the injuries, because that was the most common pushback. Like, is your quarterback going to fumble or isn't he going to get hurt? from the 1 yard line, just one of 434 non-fumble sneaks across all downs lost yardage. Wow, that's crazy. Just one. Okay, on first through third down, even including fumbles, over 99% did not lose yards. By comparison, 14% of non-sneak runs from the one lost yardage.
Okay.
14 time greater chance of you losing yardage. Now, it's 1 to 14%, so it's still not big, but it is pretty significant. Tom Brady had just one negative yard sneak in his entire NFL career. One. And isn't over the last 20 season. Now, quarterback injuries were recorded roughly once every 491 sneaks. That is comparable to third and long and less frequent than fourth down dropbacks.
Oh, wow.
So it's fourth down, we need 8 yards or whatever, I'm dropping back. There is a higher chance of you getting your quarterback injured there than on a fourth and short sneak. Says, at one point, more than 7 years passed between recorded quarterback sneak injuries. Worried about exposing your franchise quarterback? Use a backup or direct snap tight end. Non-quarterback sneak usage reached its highest level in at least 20 years and likely ever this past season. You know, when you talk about Barner in Seattle or Connor Hayward in Pittsburgh doing their tush pushes because they didn't want to risk Aaron Rodgers' old brittle bones, or maybe they didn't feel like they wanted to risk Sam Darnold. So, I mean, how do you reconcile all that? How do you compute that into game day decisions to optimize your Cowboys offense? We're sneaking our balls off, right? Are we putting Dak in there? Or are we going Joe Milton?
I think you could just put Joe Milton in there. Like, I don't think it's an issue for Dak.
Maybe Brevin Spanford?
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to. If you are that worried about any possible injury risk, Joe Milton is a big, strong quarterback. Or if you want Brevin Spanford to do it, go for it. Hunter Lipke, put him there. Let him sneak it. You've definitely got some options there if you don't want Dak to do it.
I like, the threat of a fake sneak, pullback, fade, or misdirection or somebody in the flat, set up something where, I have my starting quarterback in there. But I would say based on that knowledge, if you're worried your quarterback is too brittle, I would get it if it's Rodgers, who's over 40. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't want to, do it with every quarterback, especially if you have an injured history and you're getting a little bit older. But Tom Brady continued to do it. But I would, to complete my point, I would say if you're too worried about a quarterback injury to take advantage of the data that Paginetti is spelling out there, I think you probably need a different quarterback.
Yeah, or come up with just another specific QB sneak plan, whether it's Milton or one of your tight ends or something like that. But, I mean, that data right there should be sounding off all the alarms.
Yeah.
Quarterback sneak in short yardage situations should be the go-to bread and butter play.
And I do think this kind of data impacts decision-making in buildings because ultimately somebody's going to hear about it. And we're putting pressure on the coaching staff. We're the young analytical wizards in a building, and our coach is too much of a caveman to understand this. So now we're bitching to somebody. We're bitching to our boss, who's bitching to his boss. Or people are tuning in the media, and the fans are starting to put pressure on you. And I think that's a lot of the reason the game has evolved the way it has over the last 10 years with fourth down decision making is because of the public shaming that coaches get.
Yeah, and I don't know how long it would take for the QB sneak stuff to get loud enough from a fan base standpoint, but inside the walls of the people that actually know what's going on, I'm sure that is something that is being fed to them.
Yeah.
Like, this is the easiest way to go about it. You want to get better in the red zone? You want to get better in goal-to-go situations? This is at least a piece of the puzzle that you should be willing to use.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. Fourth down isn't is much sexier than sneaks.
Right.
From a fan, and it's an obvious blinking light, and it really took hold and went viral, and it's exhilarating when your team goes for it on fourth down. I think when you say your team is about to QB sneak it, it's kind of like a blah type of play.
It is.
Oh, absolutely. But this team specifically, when we talk about their strength being those three interior linemen and how powerful they are, they should be able to generate a good push with BB and then the two Tylers in there. But Javonte Williams was very effective in short yardage last year. Maybe that I don't want to say that wasn't a good thing, but because of his effectiveness, maybe they're thinking, like, we don't need to bother with risking the QB sneak. But I'm with you, man. I would not mind using that at all.
NFL players with the most on the line. We go to The Athletic. Who is the Cowboys player with the most on the line. This is Machota contributing to a league-wide article. Three players immediately come to mind. He says Overshown, Guyton, and Pickens.
Okay.
Which one of those three has the most?
This morning, I think Bobby during Below the Belt mentioned he thinks it's a no-brainer with Pickens.
I think it's Guyton myself.
I think he's gone.
Yeah, I think Guyton's at the crossroads right now with his career because they've been kind of waiting for him to – at times he's shown real promise. Other times it's like, that looked bad. And then there's had the injuries. He just hasn't really kind of put it all together. So I would think that that he would be that guy that would be the most to prove, the most to show, most whatever you have to do to get the job done.
Yeah, he's trying to prove that he can be a starter.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
Pickens. I mean, the only thing holding Pickens back is like people think the off the field stuff, and that's just being late. And it's not like anything terminal that we would say. I think everybody would be happy to have him. You know, if they knew that he could be on time and be responsible and all those things. Guyton, that's someone would take Guyton and think, we could do something with him. He's real athletic. He's this, that, and the other. And then they realize that, maybe he's a little deficient in some of these areas. He just has never had experience. No. He didn't have experience coming out, and then all of a sudden he gets hurt, and he doesn't have more experience. The more practice time he misses, the harder it is for him to compete.
Very stop and go.
Okay, I'm seeing something from also from Paganetti's Twitter account because I saw it the other day and I was trying to find it. The non-quarterback sneaks.
Okay.
So when you're using a tight end or a different position player, and your conversion rate drops by 6%, and your fumble rate triples.
Fumble rate makes sense. You have somebody that's now not used to playing under center, handling the ball.
Yeah,
that whole exchange is going to be different.
Yeah, I think the only way you do it if you don't want a QB sneak Dak is just by doing Milton, a guy who's comfortable doing that. And for Milton in particular, he's a big body guy too.
Right.
So it makes a ton of sense if you don't want to do that. But I'd rather do Milton or Dak sneaking it as opposed to Span Ford or something like that based on the numbers he has here.
I could definitely see Scooney not having the best ball security.
Oh, no.
Oh, I mean, I hate to pick on the guy.
Ferguson.
But yeah,
Ferguson would be the least trusted.
Okay, Machota did go with Overshown just because he's had a hard time staying healthy, and he has no certainty if he has a significant injury again. Who knows what his career earnings are going to end up looking like? But I think if he has a healthy big year, he's probably looking at least $10 million a year if he has the kind of season. Maybe that's a little high. Maybe at least $6 million a year. Jaden Daniels got it for Washington. A lot on the line there. If he is hurt again, Jaden Daniels, you'll start to hear the RG3 comparisons loudly. The Giants, Kayvon Thibodeau, they brought in Abdul Carter. They traded for Brian Burns. He's on his fifth-year option. And if he goes off this year, he will end up with massive offers in free agency. But if he doesn't, he could be pigeonholed as a role-playing kind of edge for his career. And Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts, the guarantees on his deals are running out. They have changed the play caller. And if it doesn't work out for the Eagles offense this year, Roseman has a history of not hesitating to be aggressive finding their next guy. Okay, it is time for Krusty's Corner. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, we all love lists. Where does your quarterback fall on this particular list? We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Football fix coming up at 4 o'clock. It's time now for Broadus and Krusty's Corner. Here's the king.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Broadus.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Appreciate you always playing that. We don't have anything to promote, do we? Any of our shows?
Love the Star or anything? Love the Star out, if you'd like to go check that out.
Go back and check that out, yeah. That was kind of fun. I think we got one coming up here, right? We got one in the future before we go to camp and stuff like that. We're a little bit worried right now that we might miss the media party. I think we put that out there. Is that something we're kind of concerned about right now?
It is a little disappointing.
Hey, it's all about whenever Jerry's available.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we might not make a schedule this year.
If anybody's over there listening, we'd appreciate if you just kind of.
I think it might be time for a change of venue. You know?
Oh.
Let me just go with that.
Hey, okay. Would you like to expand on that, Darnell?
You need more space?
Okay. I think the reason we're missing out is because the media group on those tennis courts has grown significantly over the years with all of your podcast and content creators and national outlets and California outlets. that now Nobu doesn't hold us. I think they want to keep it at Nobu for some reason. Maybe it's a sponsorship, or they got some sort of a deal with Nobu that they're inflexible on the venue. And that back patio is too crowded. So what they have to do is wait until half the media goes home.
Yeah.
Before they have this media party. And sure, maybe they just want to do it for their beat writers and the people that are there. And I get that. If that's their plan, it's understandable to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And, it's just unfortunate for us.
We're not being snobby about it. We appreciate the invitation. If Tad or any of those guys are listening right now, we do. We appreciate the opportunity to go out there. Appreciate the opportunity to cover training camp.
Absolutely.
And everything that you guys do for us out there, we appreciate that. But if you could just kind of move the media party up, we'd be okay with that, too. All right.
Move the date up.
By the way, Dawson, that was a strong take.
It might have been I did not intend for it to be disrespectful, so I appreciate you having my back on the
No,
on the
I absolutely do.
Yeah, I definitely absolutely. Not feeling entitled to the media party. They can do whatever they want, but if they wanted to include everybody, I think a change of venue might accommodate that.
I got
man,
you.
That Nobu is beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It is. It's
the drive is amazing.
I never take that party for granted, I guess, because
we'd never get in there.
I didn't go for a lot of years because, you know, I was like, I'm not interested. It was kind of an opportunity for kind of catch my breath, day off. And everybody that went was just like Hellman and those guys got wrecked. I mean, next day, like Hellman threw up all over Bennett's hoodie one time in the tent. Wow. Mm. You know, and so it was rough for some of those guys, you know.
Roy White threw up on Pacific Coast Highway.
Yeah.
Dropped his phone.
Ooh. Oh, geez.
The phone got ran over. The next day, the guys went out there and found the wreckage of it. what was remaining?
Oh, Roy.
Yeah, I started going because of giving like Eric and Zach ride. I mean, I wanted to. And
you're
then
you're
like,
wait a second, it's sushi.
Yeah, and then I kind of said after last year with Bobby, like ordering like a gas station sandwich after we'd been there, I was kind of like, I'm never doing this again. I'm not riding this car with Bobby and have him order a gas station sandwich. Just not going to do this.
We can show
it was so disrespectful.
I love you, Bobby. I know you're listening too. All right, Pro Football Focus. We're going to run out of these lists, by the way.
It's about to be over.
I think everybody's probably
right in time for practice to start.
Everybody, we'll be. I'll be out there starting Monday, and I'll have a fresh batch of ideas for you and things you can be critical of me of if you want to do that.
Can't wait to hear about the undrafted free agents having a good practice against the third team.
Yeah, Dawson, I'm going to make sure that I do. If Johnny Cornelius or something like that has a really good rep against a four-team guy
that's
not going to make the team, I'll sure in the hell bring it up. I will say this, Dawson. When you hang out with those practices long enough, by the end of it, you're trying to kind of find stories.
Yeah.
It gets a little tough.
I get it. I appreciate it.
No, DallasCowboys.com, I remember many a day.
Yeah. Like, what am I going to write about?
What am I going to write about today that someone's going to find interesting?
It's different.
It was a little hard to do that.
There's a handful of things that are interesting. I feel like after a couple of practices, I got a pretty good answer to these questions.
Yeah, you could get the first few practices, especially the padded practices, you kind of get an idea. But then it gets down to the end, and everybody's kind of thinking about, okay, in three more days, we're going home.
Yeah.
You know, so you're trying to kind of think of like, well, what's an interesting storyline here? What's something we haven't talked about? What's something that, you know, is there really a camp battle here that we haven't really dove into? So it gets a little difficult in camp at the end sometimes, but you figure it out. All right, Pro Football Focus did give us a list. They put the quarterbacks in order, is what they did. They put the quarterbacks in order, and I teased this as a, you know, where's your quarterback? Where's your quarterback ranked in this thing? And let me start with something right here. I just want to go through a couple of these guys real quick and just, okay, Pro Football Focus says, and I'm looking at this by the division, and we'll get to where Dak is on this thing. They got Jaden Daniels ranked 12th of all the quarterbacks going in the National Football League now.
Harsh.
They've got Jalen Hurts ranked 15th in this quarterback
that
list.
That is probably about right.
How about this one? Has Jared Goff fallen down to where he's the 16th best quarterback in the league?
Ooh. Wow. No, I don't think so.
I would not say that.
I mean,
he's better than Hurts. Probably not as good as Jaden Daniels. But I think Goff gets a ton of recognition for being accurate and processing at this point in his career.
Sure.
Yeah, Goff's a good player.
Yeah.
They put C.J. Stroud at 17. Baker Mayfield at 18.
Wow.
Bo Nix, this might be the most realist of the group. Bo Nix at 19. Did we see Bo Nix in the top three? Wasn't he ahead of some people? Who was
it's just the NFL top 100 list.
Yeah, the top 100 list. Had him ahead of, like, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think there's about 20 quarterbacks that could win you multiple playoff games. I think we're in a pretty good spot. So maybe 5 years ago, you'd be like, wow, 19th? That's horrible. I think you get into a numbers game where you got to put them in some sort of order. And there's a pretty, like, two-thirds of the league has a decent quarterback right now.
Yeah, it's kind of the thing I was kind of wondering about too was like some of these other quarterbacks are, you know, they're like some of these guys are behind Dak, but I kind of understand it. But it's interesting, like, oh, just for example, like, and I'm finishing up with the NFC East part. Jackson Dart, by the way, 25th.
There we go.
That's kind of where Jackson Dart needs to house himself. But I was kind of wondering about the quarterbacks. They've got Dak at 8th.
Okay.
Is that fair? Is that fair to have Dak Prescott at 8? Or is he – now, they've got Caleb Williams at 13. Did we have this discussion that we'd rather have Dak or Caleb Williams? Did we have that discussion the other day?
I think Dak's proved – I mean, Caleb Williams might end up being a better player.
Dawson was telling me that Caleb Williams running around is no good throwing the football.
He is not good improvising outside the pocket. He makes the occasional monster play that's sports center worthy, but he's not an efficient player out there. And he lost his center and his left tackle.
Problem there.
And DJ Moore, his best blocking wide receiver.
Yeah. They got Tyler Lawrence at 11. Trevor Lawrence.
He's fringe top 10. There's times where he's definitely looking like a top 10 guy. There's other times where he looks like he might not be a top 20 player. Trevor Lawrence is just consistency has been an issue with him.
Yeah, he has stretches where he's unbelievable.
Why do I think he's just overrated as hell?
Well, because he was just so hyped up coming out as the next sure thing.
Like best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Like this dude's going to be football Jesus. You know, like can't miss player.
And it's not that he's been bad, even though at times he has been, but he certainly hasn't met the expectations that were set for him.
It's the first half of the season, I feel like, for Trevor Lawrence is very meh. And then the last two times he's had his good second halves, they've gone on to be playoff teams. But it's just he can't put a full season together.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, though, every time that I want to like him, he does something where I don't like him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just feel like he's one of those guys, as you mentioned, that came in with such high expectations, you know, of where he was drafted and all that stuff like that. I just feel like that he's just kind of a guy. Is that unfair to him?
I mean, in the overall encompassing, yeah, I think that's probably a fair thing to say. Kind of a guy, but his highs are top five level highs.
Yep.
But he gets a little reckless and has, you know, he trusts his arm too much at times. So his lows look really bad.
Yeah, I just kind of wonder about this guy. You know, I mean, I wonder if Cohen is going to be able to get the absolute max out of him.
For the end of the year, the last month of the season or so, it was pretty next level. So if that carries over, and like Walchuk said, he can actually do it from the start of the season.
Yeah.
It's something we haven't seen from him yet.
He's a problem for me.
He's frustrating because his tools are elite, you know?
Him and Herbert are similar.
Oh, yeah, it's a good comp.
You know, like Herbert can look incredible, and then he'll lay some big-time eggs. Now, Herbert's probably done it more consistently than Lawrence has, but both those guys you look at, and it's like physically they've got everything you want, but there's just something missing.
I would rather have Herbert over Lawrence any day, but I would rather have Dak over both those guys. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, Dak has been a more consistent player than both of them, for sure.
Josh Allen, by the way, was your number one guy.
Wow.
When you went on their quarterback rate, and they had Matthew Stafford as number 5. on this list.
I think for a lot of guys, and you know, Dak at eighth, it's difficult to separate them from their overall passing game. Your protection, your weapons, you know, and that's why when I look at quarterback ratings, I try to remind myself that we should be looking at this as a grade for how good the passing game was.
Right.
There's no real way of evaluating how good a quarterback is independent of his surroundings. And that's why in a lot of these, mm-hmm. you can be 17th and 6th in back-to-back years. You didn't go from being average to one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right.
You were just put in better position to succeed. Position.
That makes sense. I'd like to see a list of that. I'd like to see a list of, create a list of quarterbacks that were put in the best situation.
Yeah.
And you know, and like, you break it down with the line, the running game,
yeah.
receivers, tight end.
Yeah, CBS Sports did it. Yeah.
Did they? How did I miss that?
The Cowboys were they were fourth on there.
Like, okay.
They just
my bad. I missed
putting
that.
Quarterbacks in best position to succeed with supporting cast. Cowboys were four with Dak.
All right. Probably a fair rating then.
Yeah.
Probably fair.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. John Owning's coming up at 4:20.
Hell yeah, he is.
I think that's his own personal segment.
He loves that time.
Football Fix is coming up next. Where are you taking us?
Football is here, and are the Cowboys an old team? That's next.